The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Hi, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello, Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we have a really interesting topic. We have Marty Klein, who is a, among other things, a film producer, but I'll give you a little background first. Marty is a blind veteran who lost his sight from an eye disease he incurred while serving in the Air Force during the Vietnam era. He struggled for years as he attempted to recreate a new identity as a man without sight. Since that challenging transition years ago, he has been a counselor for over 40 years, has written 3 books, 2 screenplays, has created a yoga program for blind and visually impaired people, and has recently produced and directed a documentary called Why We Can't Serve. The film has a dual purpose. The first is to help reduce the veteran suicides in our country. And the second is to shine a light on the incredibly inspiring things people with disabilities are accomplishing these days. We're going to hear a lot about this film from Marty. So welcome, Marty. How are you?
I'm good, and thanks, Vinny, for inviting me to your show.
You're welcome. This is quite a resume. I guess my first question, and I always ask our highly accomplished guests this question, is do you ever sleep?
Yes, I do sleep a lot, and I... been fortunate to have gotten a veteran's pension my whole life, so I didn't have to just do a regular job to pay my bills. So I've had time to do a lot of the things that I've done.
So tell us a little bit about the film Why We Can't Serve, and what led to the decision for you to create this film.
Okay. To begin, let me just say, it's Why Can't We Serve, the title, and people do get this confused often, but basically, I made the movie because there are 22 veterans that are taking their lives every day, and 10 years ago, there were 22 veterans taking their lives every day, approximately, and the government has thrown billions of dollars to try to help veterans programs to help veterans have a better life. Those programs have been useful, but they have not been able to reduce the veteran suicide rate. And I just see it as an ongoing tragedy that a lot of the administrative people don't know what to do. My movie gives them some creative ideas that they probably have not thought about. And I think that if they implemented some of the ideas in my movie, I do believe that the veteran suicide would be reduced.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's interesting. You know, I'm on the... Ulster County Suicide Prevention Coalition, known as SPEAK. It stands for Suicide Prevention, Education, Awareness, and Knowledge. And we created a mobile app a while back, and we had 3 sections of the app for the highest risk groups: young adults, older adults, and veterans. And, you know, I went into it with the assumption that, well, it must be PTSD, and that's what really causes a high suicide rate among veterans. But when I talked to the individual who we had in the video, because we had a video introduction to each section, so the individual we had was a combat veteran, and he said, in his opinion, it had much more to do with 18 consecutive years of deployments, where, you know, he had 60 guys in his unit and 100% divorce rate, that you know, multiple deployments over time not only took a financial and emotional toll, but it took a serious toll on relationships. And we know that social connectivity is a mitigating factor for risk, probably the number one factor in not only suicide, but also addictions and all kinds of chronic diseases.
I've always said, when I talk about the movie, that coming from the military and back into civilian world is the hardest thing for many, many veterans, especially those who've experienced combat. The society doesn't quite understand what to do with veterans, and the veterans don't have the real support to bridge the gap between the way they were living and this getting back into our civilian world the way it is. And I do believe that we can bridge that gap, but it takes consciousness and it takes perseverance. We can do it, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. I was reading a book called Staring Down the Wolf by Mark Divine, who is was a Navy SEAL commander, and he combined, interestingly, Zen spiritual practice and Navy SEAL warrior practice and a number of other things to create a really compelling organization called Unbeatable Mind, where he talks about aligning, physical fitness and well-being with emotional well-being, with mental well-being and spiritual well-being, and aligning those things. But when he was talking about, he talked about, like, in the SEALs, for instance, they were such tight-knit teams that their whole lives were centered around having each other's back and being there for each other no matter what. And then when many of them have trouble transitioning, as you mentioned, to the civilian world, because that's not the case. It's not the case that, you have that level of intense camaraderie and that, that mutual care, I guess is the right word.
You know, one of the soldiers, the veterans in the movie said, he doesn't miss the army, but he misses soldiers.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because they built a real strong camaraderie, and all of a sudden they're back into society and they don't have that camaraderie, and many of them don't even have a purpose.
Right.
And we need purpose, and we need, as Hillary Rodham Clinton wrote, it takes a village. It's in this case too. It takes a village to support veterans.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marty, in some of the notes that we exchanged prior to the program, in making the film Why Can't We Serve, you said that you learned some things that you hadn't expected to learn. Can you talk about that a little?
Well, first of all, I'm blind, and I decided to make a movie, and it's a 52-minute documentary. And that whole process was obviously mind expanding for me, because I didn't even know if I could make a movie, but obviously I can. And I learned a lot about the movie making process. But in addition to that, working with veterans, I learned something deep that, veterans are pushed to by society unintentionally to carry that image of them being strong because they're ex-military people. And like I recently wrote, veterans are strong, but they're also scared at different times. And they also, feel lost and they're just like us, like other human beings. But the veteran image is to be strong. So when they feel that conflict, they tend to shut down their emotions, because if they show those emotions more to the public, it feels like it will confuse the public and it will make them feel too vulnerable.
Wow. And you kind of see that with with police officers too. And I kind of even see it in, I'm in the human services field, and I kind of see it with my own field, because we're supposed to be the ones that are there to help others, and serve others. And in government to fix things that are broken. And sometimes, we're feeling a little broken at times, and there's really, and it's really, and I think also being male in our society, if I may generalize, I think it's culturally a lot, more difficult, more challenging for men to, I think, to, in our hyper competitive type of society, go it alone, rugged individualism society, to admit that when we're struggling.
We don't know how to share what we're struggling with, and we don't know how to be accepting of our human healing processes. If we have a tragedy, if we lose a loved one, someone dies, somewhere there's a little bit of a window where it's okay to grieve. But even veterans have so many things to grieve about, but they don't really get the chance because they don't allow themselves to touch that hard place. But yet if they would be open to that, it would help heal them. And it's a hard thing to teach, but I will keep doing my thing because I am a veteran.
Right.
I have learned over the years that once I got comfortable with my tears, I started protecting my heart and my tears, like my tears were rubies and jewels. And I knew every time I would shed some tears, it would bring me more connected to my heart. And I encourage all veterans, and everybody for that matter, to trust their feelings a little bit more than they have in the society.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that, you know, that that suffering doesn't go away if we choose to ignore it or just sweep it under the rug. It just comes back to haunt us in other ways. That the only way to get through suffering is to, in a sense, walk through it, to become aware of it. Hopefully try to understand that it's not everything that you are. It's just something that you're experiencing, and that you it can be transformed over time with love and compassion and
exactly.
healing.
Yeah. If people felt loved and they felt safe, we'd all be in a different place. I think we're all starving for that, but we don't know how to reach out and get it. Mm-hmm. And so much of the movie, those that, you know, I showed the movie a couple of weeks ago to another veteran. And he has a radio show also, and he talked a lot. We had a nice, you know, interview on the radio. And after the interview was over, I asked him, I said, now that the interview's over, can you tell me what came up for you when you saw the movie? Because he was asking me all the kinds of questions about the movie. And there was a 20-second pause on the phone. And then he said, and this is a veteran, you know, big, strong guy. He said, I teared up.
Wow.
It was so hard for him to just tell me that on the phone.
Wow.
But the movie really touched him, and he loved it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's the struggle where they feel so deeply, but they're so controlled around letting anybody know that they have those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for all of us in a sense sometimes to get in touch with that, but especially if you're in a role where you're expected to be the strong, tough guy, warrior, you know, type of person. And, you know, I'd definitely like to find out a lot more about this movie and what it meant for you. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
There are many sounds in your daily life. Ones that make you smile. Ones that help you relax. And there are some sounds that can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts. Now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you critical information about emergencies in your area. With updates from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're talking to Marty Klein, who produced a film called Why Can't We Serve? A really great film that deals with the issues of veteran suicide and also talks about what it means to be a disabled veteran and how that affects your life and your employment prospects. Marty, what was the original impetus for doing this film? I mean, what was the basic thing that made you say, I really need to do this film on this subject?
Well, you know, I got out of the military in 1970, and for about 10 years, I really struggled with trying to identify how to find a life without sight, which was really hard for me. I know how hard it was for me. And then years later, I knew that there would be a lot of people in the military that could serve and stay in, because they were still functioning well, but they were being forced out. And then when I heard that 22 veterans were taking their lives every day, somehow I hooked them all together and I realized that I could have been a statistic, and a lot of people who are statistics now could have stayed in the military if they were given the chance to reclassify to a non-combat job that they were capable of doing. A lot of the guys who are forced out of the military because of disabilities are still highly functional. And they go off in the world and do pretty, really, some of them do really wonderful things. But the point is that there's a place for them in the military. But the military just follows the old standard. In 1942, you didn't want to have a disabled member of your team because it would threaten everybody's life.
Yeah, it was heavy-duty combat going on, two world war on both sides of the world.
Exactly. But now with high tech and with the Americans with Disabilities Act, there's no rational reason why some of those disabled soldiers who were still highly functioning could not remain in the military at a job that they could do, and they would do it well, and then have a chance of a career of dignity instead of being forced out.
I would imagine, go ahead.
Once they're forced out, they lose their camaraderie, they lose their team, and they lose a sense of purpose of living. Right. That's what causes a lot of problems.
Right, and I would imagine the percentage of actual combat in military is probably, I would guess, relatively low, that there are as many different jobs and roles that are available in the military as there are in the rest of the world, right? The rest of the business world.
Yeah, I think the old standard was for every one combat soldier, there were six support soldiers to help support the whole process, whenever there was a combat situation.
Mm-hmm. And so how does the film specifically, tell me, how is it structured in terms of how it delivers the message that a change is necessary, both in opportunities and in suicide reduction?
Well, you know, we interviewed a lot of veterans, and how it was for them and how it was coming back into the military and where their struggles were. And it followed that we went from the fantasy of you go to war and you come back and you're a hero to the reality of being terrified in firefights, not knowing which way was up, and coming home with PTSD from all the things, if you survived at all. Most people don't even realize that we lost 58,000 soldiers to combat in the war in Vietnam, but more than twice as many of those people who came back from Vietnam took their lives since they got back.
Wow, I didn't even know that. That's, wow.
It's overwhelming. It's by suicide. So, you know, the movie takes you through understanding the problem and realizing that these people who are disabled are completely capable. And then we take it to the place where at the end of the movie, we show a bunch of amazing people with disabilities who are incredible athletes to show the abilities of people with disabilities.
So the basic message, the target audiences, so to speak, are the policymakers and the veterans themselves, right? In one instance to say this policy needs to be changed because it's way outdated, but also to the veterans to demonstrate that, if I'm getting it right, to demonstrate that, you know, that there is, you know, that there's a world of opportunity out there for you, and there's help for you for what you're going through, and you can rise above this. Maybe would that be it?
Of course, we want all of the veterans to know that they can move their lives forward. You know, when I talked about having them get connected to their emotions, if they would do that, they would have more of a sense of connection to society and a purpose of living. I think things would go better for veterans. But once you're a veteran, you can't come back. You know, if you're a soldier, you're in the military. The minute you get your discharge papers, you become a veteran. So it's for the soldiers who are disabled while on combat, or in combat or on the job, for them to have a chance to reclassify before they exit the military would give them a sense of staying connected to the team and having a purpose in life. And I think that would make a big difference.
And that's really terrific. So you mentioned PTSD, and I know we've all heard some things about it, some more than others. You experienced it. Can you give our listeners a sense of what it is and how it affects people's lives and what the treatments are?
Well, you know, PTSD originated when people came back from Vietnam and they had these traumas, post-traumatic stress disorder is officially what it's called. But I'd like to expand that definition, because most people who walk on the planet have experienced emotionally intense negative situations in their life that have caused distresses for them. And they may be walking around every day with a form of PTSD. I think that anybody who experienced rape or incest or some kind of muggings or, you know, all those kind of horrible things, those are indelibly etched in our brains because they're so intensely emotional and negative.
Right. And even things like generational poverty and all of the consequences of that. I mean, we see that what they call adverse childhood experiences, which are traumatic experiences, affect children's well-being, mental and physical health, almost more than anything.
Yes. So I personally believe, I've been a counselor for 40 years, and I have seen people come through very distressing situations with PTSD, where they learn to be with their, where the intensities would come up and they would have a flash, you know, of a memory. And I know that therapy works if you really make the commitment to hang in there and work with it. And it's them. You can go a lot of places with a good therapist.
Wow. So, yeah, I agree with that. So tell me, so what do you expect to see changing? What would you like to see change in an ideal world around this?
In a number of years, if we change this policy, and it's possible to change, the military would go with change. They just won't initiate it. So
right.
In a number of years, if we change the policy, the public would see active duty soldiers at airports, train stations, and bus stations with their disability well in the world. But it would change the culture on how our public sees people with disabilities. If soldiers have disabilities and are still functioning, maybe the guy down the street who's got a limp, maybe I won't see him in the same way I used to see him.
Right. Right.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it is. So Marty, before we run out of time, because it's winding down somewhat, tell us about where people can view the film and also how to reach you and get more information on these subjects.
Yeah, the best way is to go to whycan'twe serve.com, which is our website. And because of the virus, we've had all our viewings of the movie canceled because of, you know, we don't want to get the virus, obviously.
So live viewings, yeah.
We are scheduled on November 11th to show a Zoom version of the movie at Ulster County Community College for the students. And I'll be on the Zoom with them introducing the movie and hopefully doing a Q&A after the movie. But soon, very soon, we're going to put the movie up on YouTube. And we're going to have a link to the movie. It's going to be free to anybody who wants to watch it. So check the website constantly, and in a couple of weeks or a month, there'll be a link on the website that will take you directly to the YouTube showing of the movie. It's a 52-minute documentary. It's free, and we're putting it up because we just want as many people as possible to see the movie and be moved by it. And if you are touched by it, we'll give you a little couple of websites or emails to contact after you see the movie if you want to help us.
And that's whycan'twe serve.com. And I also want to point out that if any of you listeners out there are struggling with thoughts of suicide or have a friend or a loved one who might be, the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255. If you're a veteran, you press 1. And you'll get connected to the veterans section of that with individuals who have been veterans themselves and understand your unique challenges. That's all the time we have today. Marty, thank you so much for having done this work and for continuing the work. It's really valuable and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it being here.
Yeah. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.